Hello. Hi, everybody out in the garden. Wonderful to see you all here today. Yes, I know the Lord's brought you. And how has the garden been treating you? Good? I prayed that all the flowers and animals would help you get adjusted. And I know you've been waiting for a few minutes. I was in prayer and I was getting ready. And it took time for you to sit down anyway and get ready. And we are going to begin right now. Yeah. And what are we going to begin with? We are going to begin with another course in the School of Light, the educational series that Pastor Deborah is working through. We are in the section from the website called The Kingdom of Agape Love. It has two volumes, Volume 1 and Volume 2. We are working in Volume 1 right now. We are going through the different sections that are written and up on the website. I wanted to make a video of each section, explain it to you from me personally, so you could hear about Pastor Deborah's journey from helping people the way of the world, the way of a mental health counselor, to helping people the Lord's way as a spiritual pastor, shepherd, and teacher. Yeah. So are you all ready to begin? Okay, good. Let's begin this lesson, which is lesson number 16 of Prayer and Fasting, the Lord's Way. That's right, 16 so far. But let's first begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing all of these wonderful, wonderful people here today to the garden in the Spirit so that they may learn spiritually out of your word and hear the spiritual revelations that are there. And thank you for allowing me, Pastor Deborah, to speak about my life that you drastically changed and still are. And you're improving it. You're helping my spirit to learn more and grow. You're also teaching me many things that I can help them with so that they too can become and help you in helping people your way. But first, we must get them helped. That's right, Father. And we thank you that you know who to bring. You know who these people are. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for each and every one that you have reached out to in dreams and visions and thoughts through circumstances, and that they have come seeking answers and come and seeking peace and finding you here in the garden. And we thank you now that you will instruct us through your Holy Spirit, our teacher, for our spirit. And he will help us to understand you, the great and mighty King of the Kingdom of Heaven, and understand the very mind of Christ that we are to develop in our spirit. And the Holy Spirit will also teach us and reveal to us great spiritual revelations so that our spirit may be fed and nourished, watered, cleaned, healed, and delivered, just as your heart desires, and that your Isaiah 61 and 62 can be fulfilled in their lives spiritually and then in their soul. And eventually we know it will be a brand new world. And you will put us back here on earth. And we will all be new creatures in you. And there'll be no more sin and death, no more demonic spirits, no more separation from you. But for right now, Lord, we need your help. We need your teacher, the governor of the kingdom of heaven, guiding us, teaching us, and instructing us. So we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of your Son and your teacher, the Holy Spirit, and you, the great I Am, the Heavenly Father, and the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. Amen. All right. We're going to do a quick review. Is that all right with everybody? Okay. In lesson number 15, we had been talking about how we needed to remember to do the judgment and the justices of God, and so that we would add to ourselves righteousness, and how that would be revealed to us when we do what God says we need to do. What it means to keep His judgment is I am to look at myself and to allow God to look at me and to judge me, my attitudes in my soul, my motives, why I'm really doing what I'm doing. I'm to ask Him to look at my spirit and see its condition and judge it, and then apply the proper justice to it. You would be surprised when you do that. I have some wonderful stories about how God, when you become a seeking heart and asking God to clean you of anything that's not Him, He will do that. He'll get down to the smallest stuff that you might believe up here, have a concept about, an idea. Maybe you were taught by your parents, in your faith, in your religion, by experiences, and they are not righteous thoughts. Pastor Deborah had one, and it was in a story about how God revealed to me that I had been believing a lie that there was a real Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny. And I was teaching this lie to my son. That was not pretty. And I had to have God reveal it to me. And He put judgment on that concept and idea. And it was sinful and unrighteous. It was from Satan himself. So I had to ask God to look at me and judge me. Now, when He does that, He's looking for things in you that's not of Him. And I got it from my parents, society, and culture. They didn't mean to do that, but they set in motion in me, planted seeds that were lies, that I then bore fruit and gave to my son and got passed on to the next generation. So when your heart desires to look at itself, your mind, your subconscious, all of your concepts and ideas of how to help people, how do they learn? What part is learning? I just did a wonderful video about a pastor. He told me he believed that people learn through laughter. So in his live shows, there's a lot of laughter and jokes and joking around. He is not serious. And I talked with him, and I said, I'd never read where Jesus laughed when He was teaching. He was very serious, because spiritual things from another country, another kingdom, another culture, it's very serious stuff, and we have to be judged by it within ourselves to see if we line up with it, if our subconscious, our soul, what the Bible calls our heart, is it deceived and evil? Is it believing those lies? And it usually is yes. So we learn from the last scripture, Isaiah 56, 1 through 2. That we needed to say to the Lord, judge me, help me to keep your judgment, and remember to do justice. That doesn't mean because I did something wrong, like told my son there was a Santa Claus, that I was to die. I was to kill that concept and idea within me. That was had to die. That's what he is meaning. We're to look inside. even our spirits that are here. Most of us have not yet had a Hebrews 4:12. So everything your spirit believes is true, right, okay, is what your soul believes. So when your spirit is back in your physical body, the clothes, the covering of your spirit is your soul. And your spirit has no truth of its own, no light, no righteousness. It doesn't know it's doing anything wrong, but sometimes it does. So we were working through Isaiah 56, 1 through 12 in the last lesson. Verse 2 of it said, blessed is the spiritual person that does this. So when you learn, you're not to judge yourself. You're to allow God judge you. Look at His Word. Ask Him to show you anything that's in you that's not of Him, that's not of light, that's not of love, that's not of joy and peace, that's not of the kingdom of heaven, not a religion. And there's lots of those in the world. And ask God to say, are you serving the one true God of the kingdom of heaven that's not on this earth? It is not from this earth. When you get there, God is able to help you to look. Sometimes people know that they're doing wrong, and it hurts them, and we see the results of it. Drug abuse, corruption, trying to kill themselves. But they know no other way, and they can't get out of the trap. Some people are trapped by their culture of their family. This is what you must do for the family. Even though you know it's wrong, it's hurting you, you must do it. Because in a family, there's always the head king, so to speak. Maybe the oldest of the children. Sometimes it's the family culture. And if you don't go along with it, your family gets hurt. And you get sent away. You get separated from them, shamed, cut off, because you're not following the family line. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing to help the family. So sometimes people know that what they're doing is not right, but they can't stop. So the effects of doing wrong sort of eats them alive. And the pain that's there, they want to dull it, so they do drugs and alcohol, maybe have lots of sex. They lie if they get caught. They deceive everybody. And then in their private time, they're trying to get high on drugs, have sex, anything they can to take their mind off of it. Their conscience is bothering them, but they cannot stop because it's a choice of, I will be cut off from maybe my father, the family. But at the same time, you can stay in that but not do it. But other times you can't. So everybody's different. When Pastor Deborah runs into you guys in the spirit, I've already had to know that there's some issues. So he was saying you'll be a blessed person when you do this. And then what happens, you are developing into that Son of Man called Christ, the Anointed King. Your spiritual mind is changing. Your soul's mind is changing. Your beliefs are changing. Your obedience is changing. You're hanging on to different ideas and concepts now than what you used to hang on to. You're keeping and obeying and observing the Sabbath, the day of rest. You're not doing your work, your father's work, your culture's work, your faith's work. You're only doing the King of Heaven's work. But you don't do your work, what your family says, what your ideas, what you've been taught. Maybe you're in a denomination, a sect, and they believe one way, but another part of that denomination or faith believes a different way, and you're just kind of a mess. And he is saying, look, just stop doing all that. Rest. Don't try to do your work, your beliefs, your concepts, your ideas. your ideas anymore. Let me, the Heavenly Father, the King of Heaven, through His Holy Spirit, let me direct you and lead you and guide you by truth. I'll shine the light on the path for you. I'll speak to you, tell you, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this. I want to tell you two stories on what that looks like. And then you will learn that when I did it, I was doing no evil according to God's judgment. Number one, I had been going to a revival, the Brownsville Revival, for about 5 years, maybe six, faithfully, every week, just about every night. Well, it was changing. It was getting polluted. Evil spirits were coming in. It was not the pure presence of God anymore. He had sort of left. And one night I was walking inside my house and God said to me, you cannot go back to the revival anymore. There is too much evil there. Now, I believed it meant demonic spirits, but he's also talking about this kind of evil. People that are not doing things his way. They are not resting in his presence. They have gone off on many different paths. They have changed what the revival was about. One of those was the evangelist years later wrote a story in a book. And he said that somewhere along the line, he used to look at all the people in the pews of people that needed to get healed, delivered, saved, get right with God. But then the money started flowing to him. Millions, millions. And he had lots of needs and he hired staff. Millions came in, millions. And what happened? The people were no longer needing that of salvation in the presence. All he saw was dollar signs. They were people that became dollar signs. And he even told the congregation he wasn't coming back to the revival till more people started coming because he needed money. Now, this evangelist is now in heaven. And he didn't say how it changed, but you will be tested when you get in, put up into positions like that of fame, money, global recognition. He failed the money test because he always was seeking money as an evangelist to build church. He wanted money. He had been fighting for money, always asking. So he didn't do so well. And so what happened was on this, because of that, the whole atmosphere was changing in the revival. I knew it. I could see demonic spirits being allowed in freely through the revival school, students, through the pastors, through the members. They weren't coming. They didn't want to hear about sin in their lives anymore. They didn't want to be cleaned up anymore. What they wanted was to have a healing revival because most of God's people were sick. And if you had a healing revival instead of get the sin out, more people would come back and the reputation would grow. And there were plenty of people going around the country and the world that had healing revivals. And so there was a group of people of leadership that was fighting with this evangelist to have that. So because all of that was occurring, evil was happening within people of Christian beliefs. Satanists were coming in, witches were coming in. All kinds of evil spirits were allowed in. The music was changing. The whole atmosphere had changed. And I had prayed years and years ago, God, please help me. I don't want to be touched by anything that's not you, that's not pure. I don't want to be involved with anything that's not of you, where you have left, because he will leave a place after a while, especially when leadership gets compromised, it's no longer righteous and no longer respecting him and they are now doing things their way. So what happened was I'm walking into my house and God says, you cannot go back anymore. I said, okay, I knew there was evil there. So I came in, and it used to be on the radio. I said, can I listen to it on the radio, the praise and worship and the evangelist preaching? He says, no. I said, what am I going to do? I had been in bondage, was not free even of the revival, the need to be in God's presence. But God had to break me off of this, for it had changed. He had done all he could do with the people. It had totally become demonic and evil. The people that were involved, they were no longer of pureness. They were not doing it his way. They were doing it their way. So this scripture was showing me that things do change, even in a wonderful presence of God. He will leave. So what happened was this night, it was a Friday night. I wanted to hear praise and worship. I wanted to praise God and worship God on the radio with the revival, but I was not allowed to. And I obeyed. He was leading me and guiding me. And little did I know where we were going. But he knew if I would obey him. And I did. So I said, okay, what can I do? So I got an old videotape, I think it was one of those big ones, put it in my TV, and I think it was a group from Australia called Hillsongs, not quite sure. And there was some lady singing, can't even remember her name. And I put the video on, it was about an hour long, and they were singing and praising and dancing. So I just put that on my television, started dancing and praising and clapping in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Praising God, dancing to God, being joyful with God. The next day, I wasn't in my body anymore. I was gone. I was standing on the platform in a satanic meeting somewhere on planet Earth. There were hundreds and hundreds, thousands of Satanists and witches, psychics, their spirits. There were spirits from Supreme Court judges, kings and queens of Europe, leaders, prime ministers, presidents, CEOs of companies, children, the next generation. Soldiers, they're spirits now. This is all spiritually. So from obeying God and resting and not doing what I wanted to do, listen to the revival, I put in something else. And God approved, and I was gone. And since I knew my calling was to preach the gospel, call people to this Father, get people saved, fight against the demonics. I'm standing on the platform and I start preaching. Come unto God, all you that are heavy laden. Come. And while I'm speaking, light is going out. All the demons that were in these people and in the service were running and scattering. The light was so bright, but my voice was so tender. I'm standing there, calling these people to come to the light. Just like Arwen was calling to Frodo to come out of shadow. These were human spirits that had passed into shadow. Yeah. I'm standing there telling them about this Father who loves them. And his Son who went to a cross for them. Please come and believe in him. Thousands came forward. Nailed and got saved. Kneeled, excuse me, and got saved. What had started off, because I didn't know what to do when I got there. And God said, tell them about me. So from my obedience and being broken off of the revival and obeying and allowing God to direct my path and not to do anything he considered evil, I went to a satanic meeting in the spirit, preached the gospel in a satanic meeting, God doing powerful stuff, and people spiritually like you got saved. Yeah. So that was sort of when you allow God to clean you up, you obey, not what you want to do, and you obey Him. You become blessed. He'll lead you to get His work done. That's right. So that was one of my experiences. Do I know who all the people were by name? Some of them I do. Some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of them got in major trouble when they got back in their physical bodies because they were changed. They didn't have the demons anymore. They had the Holy Spirit. Their whole lives were changed. Yeah. So verse 2 is telling us, just do what He tells you to do. Let Him clean you. Let Him go in there and judge you, and let Him do justice in there. And I obeyed Him that day. He says, rest. You're not going to the revival. So I didn't pollute it. I kept my hands from doing evil. I could have gone ahead and listened to the revival on the radio, but I didn't. Now, I have no problem hearing God's voice. And I will argue with God, and I think I did. But some people don't hear Him clearly because they still have not had a Hebrews 4:12 experience, and all they have to go on is their soul's feelings and their soul's desires. And they will disobey what they've maybe got an inner witness to do or something. But they don't know that that inner witness is, one, their own consciousness of their spirit. Their spirit's trying to tell them, don't do that. Obey. But the soul doesn't recognize it as the spirit, because the soul is in charge at this time. So what happens is people just go on a feeling from the soul. Well, I want to do this. I could have done that, but I don't do that. I can hear God's voice very clearly, and I ask Him, please help me to always spiritually hear You, sense You, and then let my spirit speak loud and clear to my soul, and my soul must obey. So I didn't do any evil that night. I didn't do things my way. I followed the Lord. I kept His Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And people got saved. And He was showing me, if I do things His way, I become blessed, the anointing flows, and what His work He wants to do on planet Earth gets done. Now we're going to move back to, just a minute here, we're going back to Isaiah 58, verse 14, and this picks up in lesson number 16, where we are right now today. Verse 14 says, when you have done this, okay, you have loosed yourself from bondages. You have obeyed Him. You have rested from doing your work. He says, then shall you, O spiritual person, delight yourself in the Lord. I will be happy in this presence, in this relationship with the Lord. I will be happy because I'm in complete obedience to God. I'm not doing any evil. I've loosed myself from everything that needs to be loosed. I was bound to a pew, bound to this revival, bound to church denomination. Did you know once I got the revelation that I am a Kingdom of Heaven citizen from Dr. Miles Monroe, I knew I was not to have a church membership. So I went to the church's office and pulled my membership. Because the membership classes teach you in every denomination what the beliefs of that denomination is, which is something different than other people who believe in Christ Jesus. So I was really not of one fold, because this denomination believed this, and it was against this denomination that believed something different. And I'll just give you a quick example. Some denominations believe you should pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Others believe you should just pray in the name of Jesus. Some people, denominations, believe you should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Others believe you should just baptize in the name of Jesus. So they split apart and they form different denominations. You have that in every religion, every faith. Separatists, denominations, sects, and it pits everybody against each other. And I said, Jesus said he wasn't even from this place. He was from the kingdom of heaven, which was not of this world. Denominations, religion are of the earth, the world. It's man's way. So I went and pulled my membership. But I would still tithe to him, still sit there, give money to missionaries, all that. But I was no longer legally registered with that denomination. So then about a week or two after that, I'm at an outdoor revival event doing praise and worship, getting ready to hear a teacher, a preacher. I even went to other churches, outside events. I was seeking God, going after his presence. Yeah, it didn't matter what church by this time. I was now free of any denomination because I was of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, and there's only one in there. Yeah, just one. So what happened was this pastor came up to me and he said, what church do you go to? I said, wherever God tells me to go to. He goes, no, where are you registered? Where are you a member? I go, sir, the only church is the kingdom of heaven. And it's really a government and a country. I belong to that one. He says, no, you have to be registered like we register our cars. Where are you registered? And this was the test. I said, sir, you got it all wrong. There is one church in the kingdom of heaven. There are not denominations, not sects. All of that is religion, man-made, of the soul. And he walked off frustrated and mad. But those were some of my experiences. So I was learning how to delight myself in this pureness and this presence of the Lord. And he goes on and says in verse 14, and I, the Lord, will spiritually cause you to ride, fly, be carried, have authority and dominion upon the spiritual high places. Have kingship, rulership, be the head on earth as you are in Christ in the kingdom of heaven and over your own soul and flesh. He said, if you do these things and loose yourself from your bonds and you help other people to come into the house of the Lord and to put on the white robe of righteousness and you do no evil on my day of rest, you let me direct you. And boy, did that show when he took me. He flew me, carried me to that satanic meeting right there when they were in praise and worship, full of demonic spirits and the most evil, wickedest people you could ever imagine. I had dominion on the stage. I was in a spiritual high place. I was pure light. I was teaching as a king, as a ruler, as a head on earth from the kingdom of heaven. Then I learned how to take that leadership, the kingdom of heaven, and use it over my own soul's feelings and wants and desires and even my own flesh. My physical body. Powerful stuff. Once you start moving in, coming into agreement with, you understand, you live by the word of God. And in verse 14, the Lord's talking to us now. And I will spiritually feed you, Pastor Deborah, nourish you with the spiritual heritage of Jacob and your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There was a spiritual heritage of Jacob. Okay? Do you know what that was? You don't. Well, when Jacob left his family, because he had tricked his father, he got into a land and laid down on a rock to sleep. And guess what? A ladder came down called Jacob's ladder. And at the top was the Son of God, Christ himself, before he was incarnated into Jesus the dirt. And angels were going up and down. And I'm going to read to you out of the Bible what he said to Jacob. And that is Jacob's heritage. I'm going to read to you some long scriptures about this story, about how this spiritual heritage of Jacob is also yours. So just listen. I'll read it from the King James Bible. This is Genesis 28, 1 through, just a minute, 19. And Isaac called Jacob, which was his son, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go Padamarama, that's probably not right, to the house of Bethel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And God Almighty bless you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, that you mayest be a multitude of people. God was building his nation. He had to have a pure line. He was building, working to have this royal priesthood and a royal nation that he could bless so they could be the blessing and reflect this God to all the other nations. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger. Now you can take that meant they were in a strange biological earthly land. But it can also mean he's speaking deep spiritual now to the spirit to inherit the land, the kingdom of heaven, and his soul and his physical body. He's a stranger in those lands, spiritually. Wherein you are a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Verse 5. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padamaram unto Laban, the son of Bethel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padamarama to take him a wife from there, and that as he had blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Jealousy is beginning to rule Esau. Verse 7, And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padamarama. Verse 8, And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father. Verse 9, Then he went Esau into Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife. Verse 10, And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went towards Haran. Verse 11, And he rested upon a certain place. He was tired. He'd been traveling. And tarried there, slept there all night. He stayed and rested, because the sun was down, and he took of the stones of that place and put them as for his pillows. And he lay down and went to sleep. Verse 12, And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending I mean, from earth, and descending on it, going up and down. Can you imagine? You're asleep and you see this right where you're laying? And behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie right now, to you will I give it, and to your seed. This God is talking to Jacob. Yeah. Verse 14. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall be spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Something, he says, spread out. There's some seed in you that's going to come forth. It's going to bless the whole world. Well, that ended up being Christ Jesus through this seed. Now, he's sleeping. Dreams are powerful. God is talking to the spirit when the soul of man and the physical body cannot interfere. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places where you go, and I will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of to you. Verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 17. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful, how fearful is this place. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow. And he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. What we learn from that was Jacob's spiritual heritage. Now, Jacob didn't understand it, because then he goes on and says, Lord, I want to go back to my dad. I want to go back to my father and his land. And God said, no, I want to give you a land here. And he didn't understand that. But what verse 14 is telling us, I will feed you, I will nourish you with the spiritual heritage of Jacob, if you will do as I'm telling you, and you will have spiritual delight in me, and I will cause you to ride and fly, be carried, have authority and dominion upon the spiritual high places. Yeah. I want to tell you what that looks like again in a different story. It just happened the other night. I go to bed and I always tell the Lord, if you need me, my spirit, I'm always available to you. So I had been doing lots of spiritual teaching, a lot of work. So I get in a dream and I see myself on the near the front porch of an old house. And on the big front porch were lots of people. They were spirits. There was one man there, beautiful, handsome young man. And as he was walking up to me, I could hear the other spirit say, no, don't go talk to her. She'll cause you trouble. Don't go. Don't you know who you are? You are a powerful leader or a politician. Everybody knows about you. Don't go. Well, he came down the steps. Now, I didn't look like me. I was sort of dark because I had to be in disguise. When you go in behind the scenes, you go in undercover. You see that a lot when people do the special operations people. They put black on their face. They wear black clothes. You can't see them. So that's how I was. And he comes up to me, and I start telling him through this, I'm covered in darkness and black, so he's not afraid, all about this love this father had for him and about his son who died on a cross, how much they loved him. Because they had drawn him, he didn't know it, spiritually, to me. And I knew what my job was. My job was to tell him about the love of God and how much They loved him and wanted him and his family to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And while I'm doing this, a dark, cloudy, demonic spirit came. He was the ruler of this clan, this group of people. He floated in, stood sort of next to me. He had something in his hand. I don't know exactly, like a wand or something. He started sticking it in everybody's face. Okay. And he got to me, but it touched this veil, this covering I am. But it never touched me. But he knew it was me. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. Explosion occurred. The demonic got mad. He knew somebody was there. And he left. And they all went inside to their meeting. I'm sure he came back. And I left. The next morning, I had unfinished business to do. This young person came to me in the spirit. And I talked to him. Got saved, believed in the Lord. He got a Hebrews 4:12. The darkness and the demons were lifted out. Sometimes I have to have one encounter. But I was riding and flying and being carried by the Lord to do his work. I was having authority and dominion in spiritual places. I was a king, a ruler, the head on earth. Remember, we were on planet Earth. All this spiritual stuff, I tell you, it's all here on planet Earth. I have had trips to hell. But those are there. Go read 72 Virgins. I can go up to heaven. Mm-hmm. So what we're learning about prayer and fasting the Lord's way, if you do it right and you learn how to do it with a pure heart because you love him, powerful and wonderful things will happen to people. And the kingdom of darkness and Satan is demon. Get defeated. So let's end here today. We'll pick up in the next verse in prayer and fasting. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching today. The powerful stories that you allowed Pastor Deborah to be a part of. We thank you for your words teaching us about the heritage of Jacob. And Father, we ask that all those that are here, that those who desire, as that young man, that young politician who the world knows about, who got saved, who saw the power of God through Pastor Deborah at a satanic meeting at the farmhouse. Mm-hmm. They thought they were incognito. They thought they were in a private residence. But God knows where everybody's at. Father, as you did with him, do for all those that you have brought. Let your light shine forth. Help them to read the scriptures and see the spiritual love and light and joy and peace that's in you through your word. Help them to have a delight in you. Help them to do away with all of the stuff they need to be fasted off of. Help them to allow you to look into their lives, to judge what is not of you and is evil. Help them to not do their work on the day they should be resting, but your work. Help them to allow you to lead and guide them so that your work of Isaiah 61 and 62 can be fulfilled. Spiritually, feed and nourish them with your spiritual heritage of Jacob that you spoke long ago to all nations, to all people. Father, help us, for we need you so desperately. And Father, anybody here that desires right now to have you as their Lord, their Savior and their King, bring them in. Change their clothes and put on the robe of white righteousness. Cleanse their spirits. Give them a Hebrews 4:12. Bring them on up out of the flesh, Lord. Birth them anew into your kingdom. Place the Holy Spirit inside of them, their teacher and governor, to help guide their spirits. Help them, Father. This is your work. These are your treasures out of the darkness and your inheritance that you are working for. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, everybody. See you next lesson in the School of Light. Yeah. Prayer and fasting, the Lord's way. And it will be lesson number 17. And then we'll just keep going. Love, everybody. Yes, you may stay and play, enjoy, wander around. Is that satanic guy? Yes, he is. Yes, he's not even sleeping. He's up and about, but his spirit is here. Because you can have an out-of-body experience and even be alert and awake. Your soul won't know it. Yes, where is he? You see that little bitty light right over there. That's him. You go meet with him and let him tell you about the story that I just told you. Uh-huh. What's his name? Gavin. I seem to have a lot of people that I work with named Gavin. They are precious, precious, precious spiritual people. But his name is Gavin. Yeah. Go meet him. He's a young one. Yeah. He'll talk to you. He's just getting to learn his way around and about the garden stuff. He is a very curious, adventuresome young spirit. Yeah. All right, everybody. Love. See you next class in the School of Light. Bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually, the Lord's way, for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at pastordeborah@agapelovishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.